not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Mike Jones, who's the Agile Evangelist at OutSystems. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good today, John.
That's great. You know, Mike, the federal government's making a big push towards changing the way they develop software. I had a guest in the studio a month ago, one of the, actually the number two guy in the Pentagon. He oversees billions of dollars of software development, and he wants to push the federal government into the area of agile software development. And what I thought we'd do is we'd bring in an expert like you on the air and maybe just talk about some general concepts about the agile methodology, maybe talk about your company, and give my listeners maybe a sampling menu of what agile's all about. Does that make sense?
All right, let's do it.
Great, great, great. Well, I hear that accent. You got to tell my listeners, I mean, tell us about where you were born and how you wound up with this company.
Well, actually, I was born in Washington, D.C.
No, not with that accent, buddy.
But I got to Texas as quick as I could.
Yes, because you were smart.
So I'm sort of raised in the Texas Hill Country outside of Austin.
Yeah, that's where LBJ was raised, wasn't it?
You know what? I live just down the road from LBJ's ranch, absolutely.
Yeah, I know that area. Good, good, good. And how long have you been with OutSystems?
A little over 2.5 years now.
Great, great, great. Now, your title is Evangelist. Now, the last evangelist we had in the air was Vint Cerf. So you're in pretty good company. Yeah, he was on the air just 6 months ago, so he was a real bright fella. And we talked about Google and his technologies. And I want to take a little more about agile methodology and OutSystems. So tell us about the company OutSystems. You can go to OutSystems.com to find more, but give us a nutshell of what the company's all about.
Sure. OutSystems is a software company that started back in 2001 and really birthed itself on the notion that they needed a better way to build applications. The founders were tired of constantly trying to capture requirements, write everything down, agree in a contract with their customer, and then go build a system that ultimately 6, 8, 9 months later wasn't what the customer wanted, mostly because the customer's ideas changed, their business changed, and quite frankly, some of the requirements were wrong to begin with. So they said, look, we gotta change this. We need to build embrace a build-to-change type of mentality. And that's effectively what they did. And then they realized very quickly that, wow, to make this work, we're going to have to do something besides handwriting Java or C code. We need a better way. And that caused them to start investing in application development tools. And today, that's what OutSystems delivers, is a platform that gets rid of all the hurdles in trying to build an application very, very rapidly using an agile approach.
You know, the analogy I always use is, because I worked in construction for a while, is if you pour concrete, you let the forms there, you pour the concrete, and then you got a nice driveway. Well, that doesn't work for software development. What if you pour the concrete and they move the house? Well, what about the driveway? I mean, it's changing all the time, so you have to have some kind of a flexible approach, and that's what we want to talk about, agile methodology. Let's put it in the big picture. I'll do the big, huge picture, and we can go funnel into it. For the last 40 or 50 years, people have been writing software. We know that. Traditionally, the approach that's been used is called a waterfall approach, and you kind of touched on that. A waterfall approach says, well, you do one part of it, and the next part of it, and then you test the software, then you release it, and it takes a long period of time. Now, according to the Project Management Institute, that's a 23% project failure rate doing it that way. So in the late 90s, people came up with new flexible ways, like the Agile Manifesto, to talk about doing it. And this is the stuff we're talking about, right? This is kind of a flexible type approach.
Absolutely. Instead of the word flexible, John, I'd suggest we use the word iterative, because it's really about iterative development.
Yep. And that is a key word. And when my listeners are sitting at the lunch table and someone starts talking about these strange terms like product backlog and user stories and product owner, you start beating your head in the wall. You go, well, wait a minute, this isn't how we do software. But actually, you know, if President Barack Obama wants transparency, well, guess what? It's built into the Agile method. If they want accountability, well, it's built in there, isn't it? I mean, it's almost, in many ways, you can say it does fit a lot of the federal requirements.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was looking at a recent article in one of the local D.C. papers, and it was a quote from your federal CIO who said, "We need to end the culture in Washington where we continue to throw good money after bad." And that's sort of hard to do with waterfall type of development, because, you know, you throw money at this thing, and then you have to wait a long time before you find out it actually went bad. And Agile tries to break that cycle. It says, let's not wait a long time. Let's throw a little bit of money, see what we get, show it to the business, show it to the constituents, if you will, and let them decide if we're going in the right direction or not. So instead of, you know, burning all this cash and finding out it's wrong, let's just spend a little bit, see where we're at. If we like it, we move forward. If we don't, we can stop.
You know, from the perspective of a federal program manager, here's what happens. So we have a big project, so we send it over to Mike Jones Consultants, and then Mike says, hey, no problem. We'll show it to you when we're done. And then a year later, you have the project done, and I go, Mike, no, this is not, we wanted it blue, we didn't want it green.
Exactly.
And so, you know, my federal guy, my govies, their hands are tied too. So this waterfall method of very determined way of just listing requirements and then checking them off and then producing it just leads to disasters.
It absolutely does. So, you know, we have to break that cycle. Of course, you know, there's a lot of challenges with doing this because it breaks away a lot of traditional government funding and procurement is traditionally done. So we have to look at a lot of the challenges that could get presented when you start trying to go down an agile path.
Let's throw out two of the buzzwords here, and I'll let you define them so my listeners understand. One buzzword, I guess, is a scrum master. The other one is a product owner. Kind of strange terms for software, aren't they? A scrum master? Are you serious?
Well, that is a very common term you hear in the world of Agile. So maybe we should just do a little background. I mean, Agile is a set of guiding principles for building software.
Got
There's
it.
This thing called the Agile Manifesto. You can go Google it and find the key points out there.
Yeah.
And they're great key points. And then there's a whole bunch of different methods, and they really aren't even methods. They're sort of guidelines that took those high-level principles and said, here's how you try to embrace those principles. So there's things like extreme programming or XP. There's Scrum, which is where Scrum Master and product owner terminology comes from. And then there's a whole bunch of other flavors. There's the more formalized approaches through DSDM and some of those organizations, et cetera. But they've all got an Agile variant.
So is Kanban one of those?
Well, no. Kanban is, or Kanban, however you want to say it, is really an outgrowth of more lean type of a concept.
Oh, I see.
That came out of the Toyota manufacturing world that we're now trying to apply to software. And if you ask me, Agile and lean or Kanban, they go together very nicely. If you do Agile right, you build very lean software.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Makes sense. And is extreme programming within that same group?
Absolutely, it is within that group. So circling back to those definitions of product owner and Scrum Master, they come out of the Scrum sort of approach to Agile, which, by the way, it seems to be the approach that is being embraced and for larger projects and more enterprise type organizations. Certainly, the federal government would apply here. And those two terms are talking about key roles in an agile project, where the product owner effectively owns the delivery of the application in terms of its requirements and is guiding the business and the delivery team to build the right thing.
Let's hold that and tease the audience with the completion of defining Scrum Master after this break. We got to take a quick break here.
All right.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Mike Jones, the Agile Evangelist at OutSystems.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Today, we are speaking with Mike Jones, who's the Agile Evangelist at OutSystems. For more information, you can go to out, just like it sounds, outsystems.com. Well, before the break, we defined one term in the Agile kind of framework. Let's throw out this term Scrum Master. It's a funny word. What the heck is a Scrum Master?
Well, in Agile terminology, a Scrum Master is the individual who's responsible for the delivery of the actual working software. So remember, we said one of the key terms is or concepts is iter development. So we're going to try to deliver software every, ideally, couple of weeks, every 2 weeks, working code, show it to the end users, get their feedback, adjust where we're going. And the Scrum Master is the guy who's responsible for overseeing the delivery team, the guys who write the code. Many times this person also writes the code. They've got some architectural responsibilities. But they're the ones who put their necks on the line to guarantee the delivery and to get the job done.
So if, let's say we're looking at a project with the post office,
mm-hmm.
and they manage 200,000 vehicles. And so we got all these people worrying about gas and brakes and maintenance, and then we have the software developers. So on the software developer side, the person who represents their interests might be the Scrum Master, and the person who represents the interests of the people who have to maintain that fleet, that would be the product owner. Is that a good kind of distribution?
I think that's a very good distribution. Yes, you got it.
I think my listeners would understand that's good. You know, many of my listeners, again, you know, they're based in Washington, D.C., but they may have a project that touches people in California and Norfolk and in Africa or maybe Asia somewhere. And so I want to get your company on because your company's got an office in California and Portugal and Netherlands, and they got a guy like you who's a floater. So yeah, many of my listeners are floaters, by the way. They got to get go on a plane and figure something out in Colorado next week. Tell us about OutSystems. And so we know we have this big framework of Agile methodology. So OutSystems takes the best of all these aspects of Agile. And tell us about OutSystems, size of the company, and some successful projects, please.
All right, sure. So, well, OutSystems is effectively a small software company, but we've delivered over 600 Agile projects. So we do have a services unit that helps customers build pieces of software. The real goal is for them to become self-sufficient, so we go on and do the next one, which we've successfully done. And you mentioned this notion of distributed, right? People all over the place. Certainly OutSystems, as it's grown over the years, has got people all around the globe. And our customers work all around the globe as well. And there's a lot of discussion in the marketplace around this notion of distributed Agile. Can it be done? Because the original manifesto talks about, you know, teams that are close together and they're all co-located. And that works for very small projects, but it certainly doesn't work for projects like we typically see in the federal arena and projects like most of our customers have.
In fact, with Extreme Programming, they want to have the developer and the end user like maybe sitting next to each other possibly. Huh? I mean, exactly. How can you do that when your customer's in Germany?
Well, you can't. And that's certainly why we did not follow more an Extreme Programming type of approach. We picked more of a Scrum-based approach with our implementation of Agile at OutSystems.
So, when I see people making a transition from Waterfall to Agile, whether it's in the federal government or commercial organization, you know, they really have to have someone like you or like one of your consultants who's sitting in the room there to just kind of, you know, because Scrum is fairly easy to define but very hard to do.
Well, it is hard to do because conceptually, as you said, it's easy, but the challenge becomes in the changing the behavior of the people that are involved. There's some good news and some bad news, right? The good news is we really don't ask to write very detailed, long, complex requirements documents up front because they're usually wrong anyway. The bad news is that instead of that upfront investment, we ask for the business to get involved on a very regular, recurring basis. So that means that the interaction is very different. The level of responsibility and accountability changes in an Agile project, which I think is a very good thing, especially for our customers in the federal space. So those are some key changes, and since they really change the way we've traditionally done stuff, they can be hard to embrace and make happen. And that's why Agile sometimes struggles in companies of all different shapes and sizes.
Let me ask a question that my listeners are thinking right now. They can say, okay there, Mike Jones, here's a problem for you. You know, in the traditional method, we do the requirements, and then we test, and we send the product out. How does this Agile work? You test during development? How can you possibly test during development?
You know, testing is something that gets talked about a lot. I mean, even an Agile variant is called TDD, test-driven development. So regardless of whether you try to embrace a TDD approach or a Scrum-based approach, testing is a core element of any Agile delivery. The difference is that testing gets involved very early in the process and occurs on a recurring and repeatable basis. So you see a couple different things change in an organization when they build software following an Agile approach, and one of them is the testing method. And what we see in our customers is that the business people actually become a very key element of the functional testing process. So instead of having a QA team, that has, you know, read the requirements that have been blessed and approved, who interprets them, and then takes the software and tries to test and validate against those requirements. We have the actual end users of the application playing with the working code and going, no, this isn't what I want. And that works very, very well. You end up with software that's very lean, very fit to purpose, and does exactly what the business needs. So adoption rates are very high.
QA, of course, stands for quality assurance for some of the listeners out there. No problem at all. You know, a mantra in the Agile community is fail early and fail often. and you got to sit back and go, wow, these guys must be a bunch of losers. But really, if you wait to the end of the process to test it, changing something at the end, I mean, if you drive all the way to California and decide you should have gone to Maine, I mean, it's a lot longer drive than driving to Ohio and turning up to Maine, huh?
John, you know, you nailed it. I mean, everyone who's in the application development or IT industry understands the cost of change. And traditionally, you know, the cost of change goes up exponentially as you deliver more and more software, right? As the software gets more complex, the harder it is to change. In a waterfall mode, that leads to, you know, declining usability of software over a handful of years and ultimately having to replace that application. Whereas Agile says, no, let's embrace the notion of change. Let's deliver a little bit, get feedback, adjust which way we're going to go, do a little bit more, get some more feedback, adjust. Usually you find that you deliver quicker. You usually deliver less software and you deliver less complex software, which is a beautiful thing.
You know, Mike, I'm kind of a computer geezer. I've watched this software process over the years. 10, 15 years ago, front page news of the Washington Post would be large software projects failing. We're talking millions and millions of dollars. People walking away from these huge systems. You know, as much as I would like to say we could tolerate that now, you know, in this climate, you know, commercial folks don't have any money. They can't tolerate that. Government folks, they have to get, you know, they have to make sure their money's well spent. They really can't afford to have projects fail. They'll be bounced down the street.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I look at our current customers and wading into Agile seems risky, right? Because it's new, it's different, it requires change. The procurement guys hate it because we're basically saying, look, you know, we'll fix budget this thing, but the only thing we won't guarantee is what we're going to deliver. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute, how can we do that? And it's like, trust us. That's hard, you know, to get that trust because historically IT usually hasn't earned that trust.
Yeah.
So you have to break down that barrier. But once you do it, and I find that, and this is actually, I was with a customer last week, and he came to me and said, you know what you told me? You told me that after the third sprint, the business team would be 100% committed to Agile and understand completely and trust IT that they're going to deliver on time. And you were right. Now that we've got our third project done, every business team that done three different projects is bought in. Because now what isn't right is that the senior guys think it's a fluke the first two times.
Well, Mike, you're going to have to trust me to come back after the break. Where we'll get back to talk more about Agile methodology. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Mike Jones, the Agile Evangelist at OutSystems.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Or learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Mike Jones, who's the Agile Evangelist at OutSystems, and we've touched on many, many different topics during this interview, Mike, and before the break, we touched on a very serious topic, very important for my listeners, by the way, is trust, and do you trust those program managers? I mean, do you? I mean, how can we use Agile to encourage a trusting relationship here?
Well, you know, trust is a fundamental aspect of Agile development, and the simple ingredient boils back to that key word we started with, John, which is iterative development. So the notion here is that you give me some basic high-level requirements, we refine those down, we write some user stories, and then I go away for a couple of weeks and build an initial piece of software working in priority order. And then I show it to the business constituents, and they go, yeah, you got it, or no, you didn't. If they say, no, you didn't, we adjust. And 2 weeks later, I come back with changes, okay, implementing a little bit more. And they say, yeah, hey, you got that, but this is still wrong, and this is the next priority. And we keep working that way. And after, you know, a couple of these things that we call sprints or iterations, the trust grows very, very substantially. And that is how Agile projects work.
It seems like not only technical skills are involved, but social skills are involved here. I mean, you know, there can be some you know, you come up with something that's not exactly right, you have to be discreet about your comments on both sides of the table here.
Well, discreet, I'm not sure if that's the right word.
We hate it. Get out of here, you bum.
But you got to be honest. You got to be, and you got to work together. And it's that working together that is, I think, a core concept that comes out in an Agile project. And that's what really delivers working software much faster than we've ever seen it done before, with the quality and the usability that's needed to solve today's business problems.
You just tossed in there casually the phrase user story. Maybe you can define that for our listeners, please.
Well, a user story is a simple way to document the direction we want the software to go. It's part of estimating a project, which is always a challenge. There's this notion of story points and different things. And we found that for certainly organizations like the federal government and most of our commercial customers, that their teams change on every project, so they don't understand how good the team's going to be working together, et cetera. So story points don't work. They need to do something that's a little more pattern-based or based on historical fact. And that's what we've invested in some of our tooling to come up with better project estimates, et cetera.
So we have user stories, use cases, and requirements. Three completely different concepts, huh?
They are different concepts.
So what is a use case then?
Well, a use case is effectively defining a use case for a piece of software, whereas a user story defines, let's look at a particular role and define how they're going to go about doing their task. And then we can break that down into some features for that story. And effectively what we do at OutSystems is then apply a pattern to each of those features. And then we automatically generate an estimate based on the history of delivering those patterns over time.
Role-based, all of our security folks know about role-based authorization is, and that's what it's saying. It's taking a role or a concept and trying to make it modular. Is that right? Is that the correct word, or is that a fuzzy word?
I think it's a little fuzzy, but I think it's fair enough.
So iterations, and another term you threw out there was a sprint. Maybe you can define a little bit better for our audience, please.
Well, sprint really comes from a Scrum-based approach, and a sprint is when the delivery team is going to go and effectively take a set of features and write the code and build them in such a way that they become executable so they can show the business what they've built. Okay. So it's an iteration.
So an iteration can be a week, can be 6 months, can be 2 months. I mean, what's an iteration?
Well, I believe you need to focus on iterations that are relatively short. 2 weeks, I think, is ideal. I mean, if you look at, and I've done a lot of polling on this, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, people were doing iterations of 6, 8 weeks, and now they've really come down to where the average is around 2, sometimes 4. The reason they need to be short is because we have short memories.
What did you just say?
You know, my guys, we build a lot of our own software at OutSystems. Makes sense, right? We're a software company.
Yeah.
And I know that if I'm gone for more than 2 weeks and they haven't shown me working code, that when I come back, I'm going to forget what I told them.
That's part of being human.
It is. So, you know, it requires some good social skills. The product owner, which we actually changed those names a little bit, has to be very good at demonstrating the software, explaining to the user, this is what you asked for, this is what we delivered, what do you think, here's what's next, and doing this backlog settlement. There's lots of terminology here.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's really just planning what we're going to do for the next sprint.
Yeah, okay? That makes sense. Or our short little period of time to accomplish, a little baby step maybe, and maybe my listeners might understand that. We are at the end of time here, the end of our iteration. Let's hope this is sprint one. When you come back for sprint two, we'll do a deeper dive in exactly how OutSystems applies some of these terms, because you got to define the terms and some of the concepts and then go to the deeper dive next. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Mike Jones, the Agile Evangelist for OutSystems. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with a spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory, even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body. Get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.